This podcast is brought to you by Money Control.
Hello and welcome to MC Special Podcast. Today is March 25 and the first day of the 21-day lockdown announced by Prime Minister Narendra Modi. On March 24, 8 p.m, in his second address to the nation in a week's time, Modi stressed on the importance of a lockdown and how vital it was for observing social distancing. My name is Biju Cherian and I am Money Control's opinion editor. You can find Money Control's podcast on all major platforms such as Spotify, Google Podcast and Apple Podcast. Or you can go to our website www.moneycontrol.com where you have an entire section dedicated to podcasts. While thinking about a topic for a podcast today, many ideas came by. But it was quite natural to zero down on the novel coronavirus COVID-19, the pandemic that we are at the moment facing. Now, I lack the knowledge and technical know-how to talk about it. But my guest for today is the right person. He's an associate professor of community medicine at the Pushpagiri Institute of Medical Sciences and Research Center in Kerala. He's a doctoral researcher at the Karolinska Institute, Sweden. And he's a public health consultant for REACT, an international network of antibiotic resistance. My guest for today is Dr. Philip Matthew. Welcome, Dr. Matthew, to MC Special Podcast.
Hi, thank you so much. Pleasure.
Dr. Matthew, we'll be talking about, you know, things that are on the top of the mind of everyone regarding the pandemic, the measures that have been taken so far, and the medical aspects, you know, regarding isolation, you know, what's a quarantine, and, you know, the present lockdown that has been announced. Dr. Matthew, you yourself are in isolation, and I believe it is self-isolation. So can you just tell us the circumstances that led to it?
Yes, so I was in Stockholm for almost 2 weeks, beginning 1st of March, and I came back on the 14th of March. You know, there is a significant amount, there's a significant local transmission happening in Sweden. And therefore, I was advised to be at home. So I've been at home for the last 11 days and probably for the next 3-4 days also.
All right. Just to get this, you were told that you should be in isolation at the airport, or this was a decision you had taken, you know, given that, you know, you are in, you know, the medical field and you thought it was the best?
Actually, both ways. You know, I knew about this since I'm a medical person, a public health person. And at the same time, I was advised to do the same at the airport also.
Oh, all right. Okay. And this is your 10th day, 11th day of isolation.
11th day of isolation, yes.
At these times, you know, we also have to take it a bit lightly. So if I were to say you have a head start from much of the nation because you're 10 days into isolation, are there things that, you know, you would want to share with, you know, our listeners about what is the experience now, 10 days being in isolation, what does it mean?
It is actually difficult. You know, I, being a public health person, we have recommended quarantine and isolation for several, you know, epidemic outbreaks, you know, but then experiencing it personally is a different ballgame altogether. I've been in isolation for the last 11 days. I think it has been a very difficult time. You feel so frustrated and, you feel very, a room or a couple of rooms is not a very easy thing to do. I understood it right now. You know, it's very easy to prescribe that to somebody else, but then going through that experience is slightly difficult. But then I've engaged myself in various things and, you know, tried to keep myself busy, you know, right from Netflix to, you know, catching up on some work and some books and of course, catching up on some sleep also. 11 days I've been going through this and slightly difficult actually. Keeping yourself engaged and, you know, mentally healthy and emotionally and physically active is actually a difficult thing, and people have to actually take an effort to do that, because otherwise it's going to be difficult.
Okay, and I also just want to get this clarified at this moment. You're not a confirmed case. You're just taking isolation as a precaution.
Yes, I'm not a confirmed patient. You know, the protocol that we follow in this country is, you know, all people coming from abroad are advised to isolate for at least a period of 2 weeks. If they develop any kind of symptoms, we are supposed to seek care from a healthcare provider and get yourself tested. So since I don't have any kind of symptoms till now, I'm basically, and I presume that I don't have the disease.
All right. I just want to remind our readers that, you know, Money Control has been extensively covering the coronavirus, the COVID-19, both developments in the international scene and in India. Below is, you know, a link has been posted where you can actually get the latest updates on coronavirus. In fact, Dr. Philip Matthew has also been writing for Money Control's opinion section on COVID-19. Dr. Matthew, you wrote so far two articles, one in which you were talking about how Narendra Modi's speech, the first address to the nation on March 19 was, the title of that was Modi's speech was reassuring, but the nation needs more. And a second one that you did a few days later was, why we need more than a Jalpa coffee on social distancing. So can you just, you know, tell me briefly what are your thoughts about, you know, the initiatives that the government has taken so far?
Both the center and the state government have been very proactive. Things have been happening there, right from the airport screening to provisioning of medicines to the process of finding people and contacting and following them up and all that. So governments have been proactive, but then probably we need more. You know, that is what we were trying to say. I think all the public health researchers will agree with me.
Okay.
We probably need more of testing. You know, people have been worried about testing because, you know, India has one of the lowest testing rates in the world. We don't test enough. You know, we test only, the initial strategy was to test people coming from abroad.
Okay.
And their primary contacts only asymptomatic. So we, you know, it was assuming that we don't have any kind of a community transmission. But then the problem, I think international experts, even the WHO has been calling for a larger testing base, a widening of testing base, and a very effective and larger contact tracing initiative. So that is one part that we have been trying to do. I'm trying to advocate. You know, the second part of it has been basically you have to improve the infection prevention control measures in a hospital or a healthcare setting, right?
Okay.
From the personal protection equipment available to the doctors and all the healthcare workers. You know, we have to prevent an infection outbreak happening from within a health facility. We don't have hand sanitizers, or we don't have enough, masks, and there are several things that are required for community hygiene, which we don't have. So there has to be a wider emphasis and a constant intervention in ensuring the supply for all these. So focus on more testing, focus on personal protection and infection prevention in hospital and healthcare facilities, and more hygiene in community. You know, these are the three things that we were trying to say.
Okay, now just to get it right. You were saying that, you know, initially testing was basically focused on, the screening was basically focused on people who were coming from outside India. But that goes with the presumption that, you know, if a lockdown or social distancing is there, not a lockdown, a social distancing or a curfews are there, community transmission will, the chances of it will drastically reduce. Is that the hypothesis on which these things move?
Yes, that was the basic hypothesis for limiting the testing to only people coming from abroad and their primary contacts who are symptomatic.
So okay.
People coming from abroad who are not symptomatic are not tested, because most of the people with COVID-19 are asymptomatic. So they can actually easily transmit to the larger community. So that was the real problem. You know, that is probably why we are facing a shutdown right now.
That is the reason, okay, why we are actually facing a shutdown. I just wanted to also ask you about this, is that, you know, when we look at the number of cases that have been, you know, across India. Now, I'll just give a few figures that the WHO has released. You know, they bring out a daily bulletin of sorts. So, on March 1st, the global cases were around 87,000. At that time, the global deaths were 2,977. In India, on March 1st, there were just 3 cases and no deaths. 15 days later, the global cases jumped from 87,000 to 1,53,000 plus. The global deaths, it goes from 2,900 odd to 5,735. And here is the number. In India, on March 1st, if there were 3 cases, confirmed cases, by 15th it became 107. And there were 2 deaths by then. March 19th, when the Prime Minister made his address, you know, the first address to the nation, the global cases had gone up to about 2,10,000. The global deaths were 8,500 plus, and India cases were 151. Today, as of March 24th, the global cases have gone up, they are more than 3,72,000. the global deaths have shot to 16,000. And in India, you have more than 430 cases, confirmed cases, and 9 deaths. There's a sharp spike in the numbers after 15. So do you think the lockdown has come at a right time, or were we a bit late, or what could we do? What could we have done?
Well, I think in every epidemic, this kind of an increase in numbers happens. After some time, you know, probably after 100 cases, if you see all the trajectories followed by countries after 100 cases, you know, it is a very sharp upturn. You know, the trajectory is very sharp and it just moves upwards. The three or four countries which have managed to kind of reduce the trajectory has been South Korea and Japan and probably Hong Kong and Singapore.
Like what they call flattening the curve.
You can call that flattening. They were able to reduce the angle percent to something like 15 to 20%, primarily because they were able to kind of effectively intervene, and of course the social cultural things prevalent in these countries. Like in Japan is a very disciplined society that people, you know, even
so. You're saying as a society, discipline is very important in these kind of things.
So that is why three or four countries actually managed to buck the trend. And actually, you can call that flatten the curve or reduce the trajectory or whatever. They managed to blunt the outbreak, bring it under control. But then in other countries, the trajectory has been very, very sharp. After cases, it rises like, you know, very fast. So that is a problem that all the countries are facing. And it's a common thing in an epidemic. One other reason is once the countries start taking this issue seriously, they start testing more. You know, they will widen the testing parameter so more patients are identified, because in a routine circumstance, when your testing rate is very limited, like, you know, you're testing only a few set of people, then you know, okay, but then you expand the testing, the number of cases will also start. That will happen in New York and in Germany also. You know, you can see that the death rates are very small, but then the number of cases are very large, primarily because they have expanded the testing base. So these are the two factors which happen in every epidemic.
All right. Now, we were talking about this, Dr. Matthew, earlier also. The sharp number of rise in cases and death, is it a reflection or is it a telling on the quality of the healthcare system of that country? Or, you know, in a case of a pandemic like this, you know, we cannot make that correlation.
In a pandemic or an epidemic outbreak, you know, it's very difficult to make that correlation, because Italy is supposed to have one of the best health systems in the world. They have a universal health coverage system. UK's health system is very good. Sweden, you know, all the Nordic countries, Denmark and Norway has, you know, the best possible health systems in the world. But then still they're actually going through this kind of an outbreak. So, you know, it may not be reflective of the quality of health system or the strength of the health system. But then there are several other factors which come into play in this particular circumstance. You know, it may not entirely reflect on the quality of healthcare services in that country.
All right. Okay. Just to wrap it up, you know, we are in for a 21-day lockdown. This is the first day. Is there anything that you want to reflect on the lockdown? What do you think about the lockdown? Is it actually going to help reduce cases? What are your thoughts about it?
There is a sharp difference of opinion between various public health schools, you know, the various schools of thought regarding this kind of a massive lockdown. I think, you know, if we go by the middle part, we can say that, you know, we should take care of the interest and the problems of the most vulnerable population. And how are you going to take care of the informal sector? You know, in a small town that I live in, Kerala, we have more than 4,000 auto rickshaw walas. What are you going to do with them? And how are they going to survive? The informal, your pakoda seller and your housemaid, you know, all these people need to survive. So their interest and their incomes and their household expenses need to be taken care of. And multiple studies have shown that the food security, the household food security is actually very low in India.
Okay.
Essentially, if we are not able to account for all that, this lockdown is going to bring a lot of social issues and socio-economic issues to the lower socio-economic class. So that if that is taken care of by some mechanism, I'm not sure what is the right way to do that, this lockdown is going to be successful. But then we have to make sure that the interest of everybody is taken care of. You know, we don't approach it through a middle-class lens, you know, which typically, you know, people with a regular income, with a steady income, saying that, you know, we should go for a lockdown because the number of cases will come down. Because if you don't account for or if you don't consider the interest of the most vulnerable people, then this is not the right way. So if we have some kind of a system to consider that, lockdown is going to be successful.
Successful. Okay, sure. I think, in the days ahead, we will definitely get an idea about how the lockdown is, progressing, and definitely the concerns that you have raised, how every section in society is actually tackling, is, living through this lockdown. Thank you, Dr. Philip Matthew, for your time. And we definitely look forward to actually having one more session sometime in the future.
It was a pleasure talking to you.
All right. With that, it's a wrap on today's NC Special Podcast. For all news and coronavirus COVID-19 updates, log on to moneycontrol.com. Stay indoors and stay safe.